John's message. Come down front.
See, the New Year spirit has caught on. But God has His faithful people who still come. And may God bless you. As you came in, you all received this card once again, a second issue of this card. Can you have a look at it, please? I have entitled this card, Hymns of Reviving for the New Year. The emphasis is on the word reviving. Or revival. What is revival? Do you know? When there are large crowds filling the national stadium, they say, there is revival. Is that revival? Yes and no. Depends on why they are there. Just because the stadium is full of 30, 40, 50,000, does not necessarily mean there is revival. What is revival? In the year 1935, I was brought to the meetings by Dr. John Soon. And I want to show you a picture of him here. Dr. John Soon died in 1944, and his diaries were lost for 18 years. Until recently, they were discovered and made available to his daughter, who then wrote out the diary of this amazing man of God. 1935, he came to Singapore. And for 4 years in succession, 2 weeks per year, he preached. And I was revived in those meetings. Now then you ask me, what do you mean by you were revived? Meaning to say that before then, my understanding of what is the meaning of life, what is the meaning of judgment, what is the meaning of Jesus coming again? Those things were very remote. A church that is filled with people who do not understand the reality of life. What is the meaning? What is the purpose? And what is the end point of life? Just come to church, but not realizing what are the real issues, the real values. That church is still dead. 1935, I sat through. Say, how old was I? I was 10. Can you understand God's word at 10? Do you understand God's word now? You're not 10, you're older. How do you understand God's word? Answer is, by the Holy Spirit of God. Only the Holy Spirit can make you understand what we are talking about. When I put this title to this card, Hymns of Reviving or Revival for the New Year, is with the prayer and hope that through the words of God in the hymns, set to music, preached by the preacher, by the working of the Holy Spirit, you may be revived. You ask me, are you revived? I said, dear friends, my revival is from 1935 till now. He said, prove it. Show me what you mean by revival. From that day, 1935, for 2 weeks, repeated the next year, 1936, and the next year, 1937, and the final year, 1938, every year, 2 weeks. Three sermons a day for two continuous weeks of 14 days, all told. You are bathed in the Word of God to break down every reality, every facade of your own self. The values you have built around yourself, the things you think are important, all those things are taken away until you are bare before God, your soul. In front of the thrice holy God Creator, then you are faced with reality. That is the first step to revival, to realize that you are a sinner. And you face the holy God, your Creator, who not only created but came by His Son to preach, to teach, to show, and then to die, and then to open a way. When one has come to that realization that without that way of salvation, one is lost, and then cries out in mercy to God, "Have mercy, Lord. I did that." The Spirit of God came and has never left and has transformed my life. The life I have lived up to this point was determined in those meetings in 1935, 36, 37, 38. Now, how can we have revival, dear friends? This is the most wonderful blessing you can ever have. That is to realize the world is nothing. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The only thing you have that is of value is your soul. Whereas this body and all its needs and all its trappings and glamour and decorations that you can put on will pass away. The soul lives on. That is the important, that is the real you, the real me. When you come to understand, Jesus died to save that real you, and there is work for you to do. The real thing of life, the realities of life are bared to you, shown to you, and you come to the realization that only to live for Jesus matters. The most important thing you can ever do. Not everyone can give up his profession and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But I say, everyone can give up his sin and come to Jesus and say, "Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, use me to be a witness, to be your servant." That is revival. And then every day continue ever since then to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This journal is available. I recommend that if you have a mind to read, what is revival? That it came by a man called Dr. John Sung. He said, how come? This man had attained all the honors that you can ever think of. But God called him one day and showed him the reality. And he gave up all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone can be a John Sung. There are many preachers, but there is none like Dr. John Sung. Why is it? I say, God has a plan. God has a will. In that day and age, God called one man. And not only called him, but empowered him and told him, "You have 15 years to serve me." He did. 1930 to 1944. In the 15th year, God took him. But during the 15 years, he burned out himself for the Lord Jesus Christ, day and night preaching the gospel, turning hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands of Chinese to the Savior. And I was one of them. Today, those who had tasted of that revival of the 1935s and 36 and 7 and 8, there are not many left in Singapore. Yes, it is an experience that I pay anything to go through again. But that is only a wish. What can we do? I say, dear friends, hymns of reviving for the new year is our feeble little effort that from this pulpit we will endeavor to preach the Word of God. The Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that this Word continues to be preached from this pulpit faithfully, that it may turn men and women to Jesus Christ and revive some who are willing to be rid of their worldliness. Today, the greatest curse is materialism. When Christians focus their heart and mind and love and desire on things of the world, on material things, that is the end of a spiritual vitality for the Lord Jesus Christ. So revival is to see only Jesus and Him alone, to serve Him in a day and age when we realize there are not many years left before the Lord will come. Do not be deceived by the great boom of activity in Singapore. Everywhere, everything is going up. Buildings, developments, more and more money coming in. That is the curse. Let us pray that God will deliver us from all these deceptiveness of material things. Tonight, our topic is on hymn 26 in your hymnal. It says, "Come, thou fount of every blessing." Written by a man called Robert Robinson. Now, let me tell you the life of Robert Robinson. He was born in 1735. As his life would turn out, at 8 years old, his father died. I say that is a major catastrophe in anyone's life, to lose your father at 8. For without a father to guide and to protect and to bless, that boy is handicapped. At 14, mother sent him out of the village in Norfolk. This is in England. Well, that's what we're talking about. Son, go to the great metropolis of London, and there you learn a trade. At 14, a young man goes into the great city of London. Have you been there? London is the capital, where all the advancement is, the latest, including the latest in evil. And there he fell into evil company. Oh, dear friends, this is the greatest deception and the peril of this day. Singapore is becoming like London. All the temptations are around us. What are we doing about our 14-year-old boys in the house? We give all the gospel, we pray for them, we have fellowships to help to nurture them in the things of God, but will they follow? Will they walk in the ways of God? Robert Robinson fell into evil company. That is the easiest thing to do. It requires no effort. You just go along. People welcome you. The devil has made everything easy for that. And so he fell into that company and lived every kind of sinful lifestyle he tasted. However, God in His mercy had for him something better than just the filth of the flesh and the carnal desires and things of the world that can be offered and you can get it freely in London. God had something better. I say, thank God. Thank God we have a God of love and mercy, that He comes to you and me, that sends you here tonight to this meeting to hear the good Word of God. The only thing that matters is that we have the Word of God. For without the Word of God, we're in darkness. There he went, Robert Robinson. Going to this great meeting, God sent him there, took him there. Who was preaching? Somebody like Dr. John Sung. His name is called George Whitfield, one of the greatest revivalists in England. He was preaching, and his word touched the heart of this young man. He came there to confront, to ridicule, and to challenge, but he stayed to confess his sins and be saved. God's marvelous salvation has reached to you and me, all of us here, all who know the Savior is by God's grace and mercy we are here, that we understand the true values. So, Robert Robinson was saved gloriously. Called out of darkness into the marvelous light of salvation. Not just called, but he also was given the call to be a pastor. So he went to theological studies and he eventually became a pastor. Then he wrote this hymn, which is in hymn number 26. I read to you. You turn there, please. This is the hymn that is the theme for tonight's message. Come thou fount of every blessing. This expresses his feeling, the feeling and the conviction of one who has been saved out of darkness of sin into the marvelous light of God's salvation. And it is reflected very appropriately in the Psalm 36. So while you have the hymn 26, please turn to the Psalm 36 so that we may receive precious instruction from the life of this man called Robert Robinson, who wrote that hymn, which is reflected in the Psalm 36. For when he went to the meeting of George Whitfield, the first four verses describe his makeup, his purpose, and what he was doing at that time, going to the meeting to find fault and to confront this man of God. Verse 1 says, the transgression of the wicked said within his heart, there is no fear of God. That's why he went. That's why he lived a debauched life in London. I said, dear friends, have you tried the debauched life? What is the debauched life? Debauched life is just do what you please. Do what comes naturally. Enjoy yourself anyhow you can. Why? Because it's later than you think. The time is later than you think. So enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Do anything you like. Because there is no fear of God in his heart. Verse 1. This describes very aptly Robert Robinson, whom God saved and used. I said, dear friends, if you have any child of that age, any young man of teenage, you are vulnerable, very vulnerable. Very soon there will be more and more places of seduction and deception and temptation coming up in Singapore. There will be no shortage of that, I can assure you. What is your protection? Oh, dear friends, bring them to the Sunset Gospel Service and here together let us seek the Lord's mercy. Verse 2, again this verse describes for us Robert Robinson. He flatters himself, now I've come to London, how wonderful. I got a gang of people like me, all enjoying ourselves every day, every night. He flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. And at times he'll even hate himself for all the evil things he's doing, but he cannot get out of it because he who serves sin becomes a servant of sin. How sad, oh dear friends. Have you a son, a daughter, who is going through that? Yes. From time to time, I get counseling.
Pastor,
pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. Refuse to come home. Refuse to go to church. Living a different kind of life from what he or she had been taught. How sad it is. And yet it is happening in our midst. Verse 3. And the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. You don't need to teach anyone how to tell lies. You know, the psychologists and neonatologists have learned that babies in their first year already learn to deceive in their first year of life. Who taught them? Oh, they are very smart. And who says so? Psychologists. Now, verse 3 says, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. You don't have to teach them. Satan is very ever-present. And he will go in and implant all these evil things into every young mind. What protection do you have? Only the word of God. Only the love of God. And the mercy of God. And only places where that word is honored, is preached, is given out in all its purity, a place such as here you are tonight. Thank God for this. But Robert Robinson was in verse 3. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. Those things to him are foreign. How can you be wise? Dear friends, do you know what is the method to be wise? How can I be wise? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise, learn to fear God. What is to fear God? To know that He is my Creator. Not just a Creator, one day He's going to be my judge. Know that. And take steps to meet the judge, to come to the Son of the judge, and let Him be your Mediator, Savior, Redeemer, and pour out all your trust in Him. That is first step of wisdom. Fear of God. To honor His Son. To honor God. And to honor His Word. Do you know that? Do your children know that? Are you having family worship? We've been promoting family worship. What for? In an effort to help you, that it may perchance be the salvation of your child. That it may prevent that child going astray one day. Prevention is better than cure. Family worship better than eventual counseling and getting that fellow out of peril, out of police station, out of the prison, out of all those evil places where they go. Verse 4. Robert Robinson again. He devises mischief upon his bed. He says, I'll go to the meeting. I'm going to see George Whitfield preach. I'll tell him he's preaching nonsense. I'm going to confront him. He and his gang went there to confront, but when the word of God was preached, he confessed his sins and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, dear friends, was there a day when you confess your sins and receive the Savior and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've lived all my life doing all the wrong things, rebelling against the Lord, and have no fear of God. The Lord, have mercy. That is the best thing you ever did. And that's what Robert Robinson did. Then, verse 5 describes his repentance. He's turning around. He's turning away from his evil ways, from his evil friends. Oh, mercy, mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. God is faithful. You cannot measure his faithfulness because it is so high, immeasurable. For if God were not faithful, he would have forgotten you. He would have judged you, punished you, destroyed you long time ago. Robert Robinson? Yes, now you know. Then he begins to praise God. I say, all of us, if you know the Lord, learn to praise Him. Every day learn to praise Him. Every day come before Him and thank Him. Thank Him that He has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Then you can say, verse 6, Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord, how Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Oh yes, dear friends, when you have tasted the goodness of the Lord, you can say all these. And I say, practice it every day, every morning, every night. How is your prayer life? How often do you pray? When I began to be a pastor, and I began to ask my members how they were praying, I was astounded. The standard answer is, I pray sometimes. Oh dear friends, a child who does not talk to father every morning, every night, and oftentimes in between, what kind of a son is that son? So I wrote 66 prayer booklet to teach people how to pray, to encourage people to pray. And it is the best selling of all the booklets that are in our bookshop. Oh my friends, how is your prayer life? Ask yourself, how often do you commune with the Father? How often do you bear yourself before Him and tell Him all your problems and ask Him for help? He is ever waiting, ever listening. When will my child come and say hello, good morning in the morning? How sad. When you don't pray, please pray. Please. Oh God, verse 7, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. How good it is when we all know how to put our trust under the shadow of God's wings, in the sense of eagle, the mother eagle, or even a hen. Have you seen 4 or 5 chickens hiding under the wings of the mother hen? When there is a vulture flying above, they all understand. And what can get at the chickens without killing the mother hen? That is the safety that is provided for all who come to Jesus and hide under the shadow of His wings. Do you praise Him? Do you love Him? Do you serve Him? Are you grateful? Robert Robinson knew, after he was called and received the mercy of God and turned from his wicked ways to serve the Lord, he understood all this. Putting your faith and your trust in God and God alone, and to hide under the shadow of His wings. Let us do that every day. Every day, come to the Lord in prayer. Verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied. Yes, Robert Robinson thought London was so wonderful, until he came to Calvary, then he found a Savior, the really wonderful person, the one who took away all his sins, the one who showed him the true way of life, the one who showed him the reality of life, of heaven and hell, and how to walk with Jesus. Have you found that? So, verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied. Satisfied. Satisfaction, do you know what that is? Godly contentment, that you have found the Savior because the Savior has found you, and you rest in Him with complete confidence every day, serving Him, following Him, finding Jesus sweeter every day than the day before. Is that your experience? And you will drink of the river of His pleasures. Verse 9 is the verse on which the hymn is based. Come thou fount of every blessing. Here he says, with thee is the fountain of life. What is a fountain? Oh my friends, without water we perish in a week's time. All of us perish without water. And here is a fountain of life, a water of life. And Jesus gives it to you. So he wrote this wonderful, wonderful hymn. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. When you're so happy, filled with the love of God, you cannot help but sing. Do you sing sometimes? Do you sing every day? Why not? I say, when we went through the revival of Dr. John Sung, everyone sang every day, all the time. When they finished the meeting and they were walking home, everybody was humming or singing or whistling. Everyone was so happy. Are you? If you are happy in the Lord, sing the songs of Zion, the songs of heaven. Come thou fount of every blessing, you will find no blessing outside of the Lord Jesus that is worth talking about. Temporary enjoyments, carnal entertainments, things that pander to the body and the flesh, those things are not blessing. Those things are deceptive. They only pull you down and pull you back to the world. Come, thou fountain of blessing with Jesus. And here, every Lord's Day, we tell you all the things, the good things that come out of Jesus. Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. Why are so few people coming? Why is it? Because the world is just too strong for us. I'm told that very few churches in Singapore can succeed in doing a second service. Very few. I say, thank God we are among the very few. And I thank God for you faithfully coming. But let us persevere. I have borne this ministry for 28 years, 29 years now. Never give up. There were times when I was so discouraged. Wow, you prepare everything, come to service, 40, 50 people come. I say, Lord, what for? Not worth the trouble, is it? But the Word of God says, persevere. Even one soul, you persevere. Now today we have, well, how many do we have tonight? About 250 maybe, not that. But there is ample space for 1,200 in this auditorium upstairs and downstairs. Where are the people? Why are there so many empty seats? Answer! Chinese New Year. The world. My family. My other business. My tiredness. My want of leisure and pleasure. I want to have my television series. So important. What have you got at Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship? So these are the battles we got to fight. But when you are revived, you say, my Lord first. I come to God's house always because He has given me meaning in life. I will be here regardless. That is a revival. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Somehow our singing is not full-hearted. There is not that great enthusiasm to sing the songs of heaven. Why is it? Because we are not revived. Because the world is too strong. And while you are singing here, half-heartedly, the heart is already thinking of somewhere else. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mound, I'm fixed upon it, mound of thy redeeming love. We close with a hymn, with a verse 9 and 10, please, back to Psalm 36. Can you say this with the psalmist? With thee is the fountain of life. No one else can give you that fountain of life. All the rest are counterfeits. Nothing else can give you the pleasure that the gospel gives you. God gives you the true life, the everlasting life. And when you drink it, you know you're satisfied and you will never need anything else. Have you found it? Surely you have. But let us go and tell others. Spread the good news. Bring your friends. filled in these empty 800 seats. Can it happen? Well, I say, at the rate we are going, it may take 100 years. No. Before then, the Lord comes. I say, let us not give up. Yes. I don't give up. I have not given up all these years. Don't you give up. But let us all encourage one another and say, here is a place where the word of God is preached. For with thee is the fountain of life. Here is the fountain of life. Here is the fountain being opened to all who come. In thy light shall we see light. There is no light except from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light. He gives us the light. He gives us direction in life. He shows us what we ought to do. Follow Him. Read His word every day. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee. I say, let this be our New Year prayer. Verse 10. O Lord, continue thy loving kindness unto all thy people here that know thee and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Now let us sing this wonderful hymn. Hymn is number 26. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls of songs of loudest praise. Stanza 2. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. Yes, except the Lord help us, we have no help. We will be defeated by Satan many a time, by the Philistines of temptation around us. They are everywhere. You will be defeated, except the Lord be your helper. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me while a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. This is our confession. This is our experience, all of us. We were wandering, all we like street sheep have gone astray. And Jesus, the good shepherd, came at the risk to his own life. And he laid down his life for us in order that we may be saved. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Repay your gospel debt, dear friends. Let's arise to sing this wonderful hymn, number 26, Come Thou Fount.